What's up, Familia? Dayspring here with a very special episode of Power of X-Men. I have been wanting to do this episode for such a long time, Familia. We're going to rank our top 25 5-inch Toy Biz X-Men figures. Why not 10? Well, I originally wanted to do 10, but I was like, there's too many great figures. I can't just bring it down to 10, so I tried 15. Still, there were too many great figures. I did 20. I got there almost with 20, and then I was like, oh, I have these five that are just really good, and if we don't mention them, the internet's going to be angry. So we have 25. Well, 25-ish. I may cheat somewhere, but with good reason am I cheating at adding one extra figure on this list, but we will dive into it when we get there. But folks, there is no denying that Toy Biz's 5-inch X-Men waves were a hallmark of so many of our childhoods. I remember being a little Dayspring back in like 1992, 1993, and my mom trying to get me to play with these figures because, as she would say, as Mama Dayspring would say, they were so cheap. They were $4.99 at KB Toys. And I remember being with her and walking through the toy aisle and seeing Storm and Cyclops. And then they had an X-Factor helmet Cyclops as well. And my mom being like, come on, you want to buy these figures. You want to buy these figures. You don't want that Little Mermaid doll. You want the X-Men. And I was like, I want the helmet. I want the Cyclops helmet. So I got the Cyclops helmet. But I wouldn't start collecting the figures until a couple of years later because, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, my gateway to the X-Men were the 1994 Fleer Ultra, specifically card number 2, which was Rogue, because that beautiful piece of art and flipping it and reading all about Rogue, her name being unrevealed, her being able to siphon powers was just so powerful for me. It caused so much curiosity for me. So from the Fleer Ultras, I went into the comics, and then I started collecting the action figures and watching the anime series around the same time. But, you know, it's funny because I thought the waves for Toy Biz actually lasted longer. It sort of in my head canon, which is wrong, in my head canon, they started like in 1989 and went through 1999. But no, it was from 1991 through 1998, just about 7 or 8 years. And it's wild to me that so much was produced during this period and so many different lines. So, you know, I remember back in like 1994 through 1996, I would call the hotline. I believe the number was 1-800-634-7539. That number is 1-800-634-7539. I would call that number every day from like 1994 through like 1996, every day for 2 years, because I would go on AOL keyword Marvel and go into the Toy Biz message board there. I would post my wish list, and from there I would go and call that number, 1-800-634-7539, and I would give them my wish list, because at the time there was an option, I want to say it was like option 3 or 2, that you would hit and they would be like, tell us which figures you would like. And that would just be there, like with my squeaky little voice being like, I want a Jean Grey and a Jim Lee outfit. I want a Madam Butter. It was so funny, man. And I remember being on the message board and arguing with people about the wish list. There was this person called Jules Fern and J.L. Lager, which I have spoken about with Mini Mayday and my husband, Jeff, quite a few times about the politics of the Toy Biz message board on AOL Keyword Marvel. If you think X-Men message boards now or X-Men Instagrams or TikToks or wherever you consume your X-Men content is contentious, it was a bloodbath in 1996 on the AOL Keyword Marvel Toy Biz message board. That was a bloodbath, Familia. But anyways, I love these figures so much, and I thought we could do a ranking on them. And when I was going through these figures, I thought about what was the criteria for a good action figure during this era, right? Because if it were up to me, if it was just Paul's preference, if it was just Dayspring's preference, it would be Adam X, Nate Gray, Space Rider, Jean Grey, done. But I really did try to take a look at the figure, how it was sculpted, the impact it had on the lines, the impact it had on our collections, and sort of the popularity. So we considered a lot of other factors other than just preference. But One of the things we pride ourselves here is objectivity. Objectivity is key when we're looking at the X-Men because we really want to preserve how history happened in regards to the X-Men. I don't want to put like sort of Dayspring's perception on it. I want it to be objective. So that translates into even creating this list. And there are a couple of figures here that I personally wouldn't have put on a top 25 list, but there was no denying their popularity and the impact it had on fandom, and also just the articulation and the sculpting and sort of the vibe of the time. Now, like most kids, I would wake up on Saturday mornings and go to Toys R Us or KB's Toys. Actually, I think the way we would do it Saturday mornings was Toys R Us after the X-Men animated series, which aired at 11 for me. So around 12:30, 1 o'clock, I would go to Toys R Us. And then because we would go out as a family, I don't know why I just did that, because we would go out as a family to like TGI Fridays at our local mall. Then there was KB Toys in the mall. So at nighttime, I would go KB Toys. So I know that's such a weird distinction there, Familia, but mornings were reserved for Toys R Us. Mornings and afternoons were reserved for Toys R Us. But at the nighttime, when we were waiting for our table at the TGI Fridays, we would go to KB Toys. So that's sort of how I came to a lot of these figures. That's how I found them. You know, some figures were hard to find, as we all know. Female characters were packed one per case. Some of them were chased. So you'd have to call, you'd have to pull up something called a phone book, Familia. And it was this big old book that was yellow. And they were called the Yellow Pages too. You would look up Toys R Us and you would go through every single Toys R Us, seeing if they had light up Psylocke, seeing if they had Phoenix, seeing if they had Storm, or even like Astro Xavier. And sometimes you knew a wave was coming because you saw it in Toy Fair, like the light up series. I always talk about the story. I opened up an issue of Toy Fair and I saw an ad for the light up series. I was like, yes, when it's coming. And it would only say something like spring 1996, whenever it came out. It would only say something like that. So you didn't know. So you'd have to call these places sometimes weekly, Familia, not even weekly. If you were an obsessive fan, you were calling like every other day, and you would know when the shipments were coming and everything. And so you knew a shipment was coming in the morning, so you would have your parents drive you to that Toys R Us, and you'd go towards the back of the store and you'd wait for them to take the shipment out of the truck and open it in front of you. It was incredible. That happened to me a few times with, I believe it was a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, where you could do the transformation, like you could flip their heads from like the helmets to their civilian heads. I remember being the back of Toys R Us as they literally got those toys and unboxed them before me. And I was like, ooh, I want Kimberly. I want the Pink Ranger. They're like, here you go, kid. I thought you would have wanted the Red or Green Ranger. I was like, no, Kimberly, please. Anyways, so this means the series means a lot to me because this is how I started toy hunting. These were figures that some of them were very hard to come by. And I want to stress that a little bit because we've talked about this on the podcast before, what has made the X-Men so precious for a specific generation of readers, fans, collectors, is that in the 90s, even up until, I want to say like 2013. So from the 90s through 2013, information wasn't as available as it is today. These pre-orders for these figures just did not exist. You either went to Toys R Us and you got surprised that this figure existed, or you had to call every day and hunt it down. Similarly with like comic book issues, you did not have Marvel Unlimited or RIP Comixology, Amazon.com, digital comics, or Wikipedia, where you can find out all about these stories. You got a FLIR Ultra card of a one Madeline Pryor, and it said she was Jean Grey's clone, and you had no idea what it meant. And then you would see another card with Dark Phoenix, and it would say that the Phoenix replaced Jean, and you had also no idea what that meant. And you were in fourth grade, and you had only these two little cards for months until you finally got, maybe you came across an issue of Inferno, or you came across a trade paperback of the Dark Phoenix saga, and you were able to start piecing together this larger narrative. So with these figures, we hunted for them. We were like little archaeologists going from Toys R Us to Toys R Us, trying to find a specific figure. And sometimes based off of just rumors, right? There is a 10-inch Jean Grey out there. Like, what? There's no ads for it anywhere. There's no proof this figure exists. I'm just going to go to KB Toys while we wait for our table on Fridays and hope that they have a 10-inch Jean Grey. But So that's why in my 40s, I am still discussing these figures because it had such a profound impact on my personality. It taught me how to be organized. It taught me how to hunt, taught me how to go out and get what I wanted. That is why these figures mean so much to me. And that's why we're ranking 25 of them. Okay. So coming in at number 25 is Morph. Now, Morph has been the center of a lot of conversation for X-Men 97. And I'm seeing some people being like, oh, who cares about Morph? I'm like, I care about Morph. All of us cared about Morph. That's why they brought Morph back in season two. Morph was originally created to die, but because there was such an outcry for the character, Morph was brought back. And we finally then got a figure of him in the random Maverick wave. I'm forgetting what the official name of that wave was called, but he came with a Cyclops head, a Wolverine head, and he was absolutely incredible. He also came with his evil Morph head. I mean, this was such a wonderful figure. And I know it's really odd because now we can take off heads on figures and just, you know, pop in another head. But this was, to my knowledge, at the time, the first X-Men figure that had alternate heads. And I remember being on the playground with my friend Carlos Medina and thinking about like, oh, what if they do a Gambit head? What if they do a Jean head for him, right? We thought that maybe we would get an extra, you know, accessory pack of other X-Men heads. But because this technology at the time, again, switching out the heads, look at it. Like, you can actually switch it out and it's a little bit more rubbery around the neck, which is great. But it just wasn't a thing then. And this figure was just the freaking trailblazer when it came to being able to swap heads. The reason why we have so many swappable heads in Marvel Legends and Mafex is because of this Morph figure. And Morph, again, was so beloved that they brought him back in season two till Death Do Us Part. And, you know, he would join the team again finally at the end of the animated series. But yeah, I'm always perplexed by the conversation today when people are like, oh, well, no one cares about Morph. Like, everyone cared about Morph. That was the entire point of bringing him back, is because there was such a backlash. And this figure, we were all so happy to have him. Look at him there. He looks like he stepped right out of the animated series. I mean, wait a minute. Does he look like it? I find Morph, when they translate him outside of the animated series, to be a little inconsistent. I love the Marvel Legends animated Morph figure that we got recently. But, you know, he has a little bit more brown hair here. He has a little bit more of an elastic smile, which I guess Morph does kind of in the animated series. But regardless, here he is in this outfit, in the his classic outfit. Love it so much. Would have loved him with a jacket, to be honest. But this figure, I loved having him. Okay, coming in at number 24 is Age of Apocalypse Magneto. Familia, I can tell you where I was at when I got this figure. So like I said before, in the 90s, you didn't know if a figure was coming out because you really only had one source, which was Toy Fair magazine or Wizard. And you didn't know certain figures were being done. I didn't know that there was an Age of Apocalypse wave. It may have been announced everywhere, but when you are, I don't know, in like sixth grade, you're not paying attention to industry trades and stuff like that. You're not following news that closely because, you know, you can't be on AOL all afternoon because the modem takes up the line and people will try to call your house and there would be a busy line. So I remember we were going to Kmart on a Friday night, and we went into the Little Caesars at Kmart, and my dad placed an order for pizza. Back then I had such a vanilla palate. I only got plain pizza from Little Caesars, but I love their crazy bread. Even back then, I love their crazy bread. So I remember I felt cool because I was like maybe like 11, and I was able to walk around Kmart by myself. And of course, I would always go to the toy aisle, and there he was. When I walked into the toy aisle, Age of Apocalypse Magneto's, what? Oh my God. And of course I flip on the back and I saw that we were getting an Apocalypse with the Shadow King. I saw the Gambit, which we would not get Gambit until later on because he was photographed in that wave, but he did not appear in that wave until the famous couple two pack with Age of Apocalypse Rogue, which was a repaint of the Emma Frost Generation X figure. But anyways, I digress. I love this figure so much. I mean, look at the deco. It's shimmering there. He looks so good. I mean, he looks like he stepped out of the pages of Age of Apocalypse. He looks like a Joe Mad rendering right there. I mean, look at the boots right there. He is so great. The one thing I will tell you, I think his helmet, and I don't have his helmet anymore, his helmet looked funny. It did not fit him too well. But like, listen, you can't, I cannot get angry at something like that. It was the 90s. They were still figuring out technology. It just wasn't a thing. But this Age of Apocalypse Magneto with his two braids there, his ponytail in the back. I mean, his facial expression. Look at that, Familia. He's so stoic and determined. I mean, and look at the details with his chest piece right there. You can see like the bolts in his armor. I mean, the paint deco is so clean and crisp. I mean, he even has ruffles. Well, these are muscles, but he has ruffles around his underwear area. And, you know, it just looks so good. I'm like, I don't want to talk about his butt and like crotch area. But the attention to detail is all I'm trying to say. And like, look at his gloves. I mean, I want you to see, this is the 90s, and I want you to see the detail on his glove right there. Look at the details right there. Look at that detail. It's incredible. This figure is number 24 on our list. All right, keeping it in the House of M family, number 23 is Quicksilver. I'm going to say something, and I'm going to be very crass as I say it. This is the best Quicksilver figure ever made. I'm sorry. I love my Hasbro Marvel Legends figures very much, but I still have not gotten a decent Quicksilver figure. We got the Family Matters Quicksilver, which I didn't think that looked really good. And then we got the Blob Quicksilver, which came out when Hasbro initially took over the license, and it just looked bad. A lot of those figures look terrible, but this figure in particular, I love so much. I know he had a variant that was white and black. I didn't have it. You know, he was part of the mutant armor wave. I just think, look how clean his lines are. Look at that bolt, how clean it is. I think it looks like he has mascara on, which is fine. I don't care. I mean, listen, Quicksilver's a little arrogant. I love his hair. A little homage right there to his House of M roots. This figure, I mean, look, and you can even pose him. He looks like he's just running. I mean, really, just organically, like, looks like he's running. His fist is kind of like out like that, so maybe that's why it lends itself to a little bit more of a running vibe. This figure, Familia, is probably personally a top five favorite for me. But because we're being objective here, we're putting him at number 23. Quicksilver, loved him. He was essential to your X-Factor display. All right, coming in at number 22. This is a little contentious because I think there are other versions of this character that I think other people would put on this list. So number 22 is Archangel, but it's Archangel with his blue and white outfit, blonde rider, strong hair, and blue skin. Now, we have the original Archangel, which I mentioned earlier in this episode, which was part of that wave one that I think so many of us had, and it was essential. You know, he had the white wings, but it's not a very good looking figure for Archangel, if I would be honest. I think at the time it was fine. It did what it had to do, but it wasn't a standout in a wave with Cyclops and Storm and Wolverine. Archangel just sort of fell to the back, right? And we did have Archangel 2, and I did toy around with putting him in this spot at number 22. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, like, that wasn't a really great figure. That was just not the figure that I saw so many people in their display. It was either that Archangel or this one. And funny enough, the prototype that was for this one had the Archangel 2 head, which, by the way, do you remember that in the back of the packaging, Toy Biz would say, we constantly update our products. So as a result, what you see on the back of the packaging may not reflect the actual product itself. That haunted me. That haunted me for decades, Familia. I still think about that because every time I see a prototype, I'm like, it's not going to make it. It's not going to look how it looks at the prototype. But in this case, thank White Phoenix it didn't, because I love this Archangel so much. This Archangel looks so good, much like Quicksilver. He has mascara or eyeliner on his eyes. But that's fine. I get it. They had to make these figures look a little bit more dynamic. And I don't want to say cartoony, but cool comic book. They had to make sure it popped in your hand. The wings here are great. He has no real action figure. Action feature, you know, his wings come out, they're a little floppy. I love how floppy these wings are. This to me is great. He doesn't really do much. I can't remember. I don't think there may have been a red variant out there. I don't know if there was a red variant or not, but this Archangel was my favorite. He's the one that I displayed. Again, in terms of action features, nothing to write home about, but like I think I always say write home about, but I really enjoyed this figure. I think he looks great. He stood at the test of time. This is the Angel I was displaying. Number 21 is such a good figure. And this was a figure that I'm surprised we got. And it is Monster Armor Mystique. And fun fact, the prototype actually did not show her with her belt, her skeleton belt and her skirt. And that's because she gets monster armor that's supposed to clip on here. She's supposed to morph into Beast. But it looks like a very different Beast than Hank McCoy looks like. But I think the idea here was that they were trying to create their own stories for these figures and why they were doing a specific wave. So the Monster Armor wave was this entire elaborate story that you only got on the back of the packaging, where Mystique actually shapeshifts and impersonates Beast. This figure is gorgeous, Familia. I mean, again, you have to think about this. Like, look at her hair. That hair is absolutely perfect. The sculpting on her hair is perfect. This is a fabulous Mystique, Familia. She has stood the test of time. And they would use this body again for Age of Apocalypse Jean. The prototype for Age of Apocalypse Jean even had a repainted Mystique head as AOA Jean. But she would eventually get her own, but this would be the body they use for her. She is absolutely perfect. I think this is one of the best figures that Toy Biz put out. And I'm glad they did. Because again, Familia, the conversation was just very different back then. We just didn't know if we were going to get Mystique. Because once more, female figures were one per case. Maybe if we were lucky, we had one per wave. Two was unheard of. In fact, with the exception of the Generation X waves, I can't think of another wave the X-Men did for this 5-inch line that we actually got two female figures. In fact, I'm looking at the back of the packaging for this figure right here, and there are no female figures here, and it's a Storm figure. So not even Storm in the back here. At the time, they just thought that the boys did not want the female figures. And that doesn't make any sense, because we wanted the female figures. We wanted all of them. And that there were also female action figure collectors. It was a very different time in the way that toys were marketed. Definitely not the golden age we have here in terms of getting female figures and a diverse set of characters. But again, once more, the importance of Mystique. Not only did we get her, but she was done really, really well. And I don't think I had a hard time tracking her down. I think I just walked into Toys R Us one morning and I saw her there and I was like, oh, there's Mystique. Oh, there's a Rogue figure too. Oh, the Monster Wave had two female figures. There you go. Monster Wave also had Rogue and Mystique. But absolutely wonderful. Great figure. Love her very much. Coming in at number 20 is Ninja Wave Sabretooth. And I know, Familia, very interesting that we have him on this wave right here. But I mean, look at him. I believe he's going $40, because I looked it up, because I was like, this is an awesome figure. If you're a Sabretooth fan, you definitely need this. I mean, this is like actual felt, like cloth tunic he has. I mean, look at that. I mean, he's a Joe Mad character right there. Look at so angry. I can't remember if he was in the story where Psylocke got the Crimson Dawn and they sort of had ninja outfits. I don't know if that's what was the inspiration for this wave. I mean, it would be like saying, what was the inspiration for the Monster Wave? It'd be like, nothing was. But this just looks very specific to me. It looks really great. The deco is amazing. I mean, the face is so matted and wonderful. I love this figure. It's so beautiful. I remember walking into Target and seeing this series for the first time and the Make Good Psylocke we got on that. Psylocke, that Psylocke is not on our list, unfortunately. Sorry, Familia. But this figure is so great. And I think this figure is a little bit more emblematic of style over substance, to be very honest with you. But listen, I have said this before. There is nothing wrong with style over substance as long as it is really good style. This is a beautiful figure. I don't think I ever displayed him. As you can tell, he's still in really pristine condition because I think I probably just got him and put him in my toy box. But the figure is wonderful. I mean, look at that. This is a great figure. Hands down, why he's coming in at number 20. All right. Okay. I am so excited for this next figure because in the mid 90s, she was having a moment. She was in Marvel versus Capcom 2. She was on the X-Men. She was part of a little group called Gene Nation, and that is the Generation X Wave 2 Meryl. This figure is gorgeous. I'm sorry, Familia. I mean, the detail, like she has like scales on her skin. Bones protruding, her maniacal face, bones coming out of her head. This is a flawless Meryl figure. If you want Meryl in an action figure, this is your Meryl right here. Look at her. Oh, perfectly capturing how she was in Generation X when she was leading Gene Nation. I love this figure, Familia. She was part of Wave 2. Also, with two female figures. You see, I'm like eating shit when I talk to you guys sometimes. So, Emma was also in that wave. So, there you go. Two female figures for that wave. I'm going to have to retcon that statement. But here she is. She looks so wonderful. I mean, look at the gold on her armor here. It is a beautiful, beautiful figure. She has like purple eyeshadow. That smile. This is diabolical. This is just what we love so much when we're thinking about Meryl and Generation X. This figure, the fringes on her boots. Meryl was having her moment in the mid-90s. I wish she was still having her moment, right? Because she was such a fun, incredible character. And this figure is, it's a must-have. It's just a must-have. Objectively, this is a beautifully done figure. Again, personal favorite of mine. I would have ranked her much higher if we were going based on just what Paul likes. However, because we are trying to be objective here, a lot of people probably skipped out on this figure because they didn't really know who she was, or they probably didn't need her because she wasn't really in the animated series. But this figure was gorgeous. I mean, look at her hair. Look at that forelock just sweeping through her forehead. Oh, this figure coming in at number 19, Generation X Wave 2 Meryl. All right. Number 18 is also Generation X Wave 1 Chamber. Ah, and you can like pull his... Oh my God, I thought for a split second it still worked. It's not. It doesn't work. But you would pull this and this would have sparks on it. By the way, I just noticed this the other day when I was like Instagramming. If you look around his crotch area, which again, this is so weird to say. If you look around his crotch area, they actually, the fire effects extend down there. That was deliberate, Toy Biz. Toy Biz, that was deliberate. Someone at Toy Biz had a sense of humor. But you would pull this and you would see the fire come out. What a beautiful figure. I mean, again, Generation X was such a... Oh, my God. Is it on his butt, too? Oh, my God, Familia. I think it's on his butt as well. I think if you lift this up, you see... Oh, he has a spark on his butt, dude. Fuck, man. Toy Biz. Why are you doing this to me? On air as I'm doing this. Oh, God. Okay, Generation X was just the comic. It was the New Mutants for millennials such as myself. Love the Generation X. Scott Lobdell, Chris Pachalo era. Oh, Familia, look at his boots. These boots are incredible right there. Look how the costume is rendered. Look at his jacket. Oh, Familia, and his eyes coming out like that. It's great. That's why I was tough on the Toy Biz figure because I was tough on the Hasbro Marvel Legends Chamber figure because of this figure. Because this had such an impact. And look, he has a windswept hair. You know how I feel about windswept hair. But I can forgive it. I can forgive it because it looks so good. But this figure just had so much swag. And I remember going through the aisles of Toys R Us and seeing an employee taking out X-Men figures. And I was like, "Oh, what do you have there?" Right? I was like 11. I was like, "Tell me what you have there." And he pulled out the Jubilee with her rollerblades and then Chamber. I was like, "Oh my God." And I remember seeing him, and he came with the red base as well, the red holographic base, which was the Generation X logo. Oh, this figure, everything about it, Familia. I mean, even again, look at his hands. Look at the detail on his hands. Look at the belt. Look how clean the paint apps are. This figure, you're a Generation X fan. Hunt it down, keep it, get it. You're going to love it. 13th part of your collection. Okay. So coming in at number 17, it's a very important figure for me because I love this figure so much. She was one of my most wanted. And that is Blink from the Most Wanted Wave, in case you guys did not get that reference. But I'm sorry. She portaled right from the pages of Astonishing X-Men during the Age of Apocalypse and just appeared right here in our hands. I mean, look at her. Look at the boots. Look at how her skirt is. Look at how her hair is and the bangs in front. I mean, again, Familia, this is a beautiful figure. And I believe this is the Shard body. I don't know who came first. I don't know if Blink came first or Shard came first, but this is the same body type that Shard has. This figure is absolutely gorgeous. My God, Familia. When I think of why I love those later waves in 1996, it's right here, Blink. She is emblematic of it. There's so much beautiful style here. I remember I found it was only three characters for the wave, and I remember I found her, Nate, and Spat and Grovel. I'm forgetting it was definitely Spat, but I'm forgetting what the creature was called. And it was part of the Marvel's Most Wanted wave. They only released three figures. I got her and Nate on one trip to KB Toy Store, and I went to my TGI Fridays, and I was a very happy camper. And again, I didn't know the wave was coming. A lot of these figures, part of what makes them so powerful is that I just came across them. I mean, can you imagine? I did not know that there was a Nate Gray figure being produced. Now I'm like counting the days down for the Mafex, but this is the Blink figure. I think she's better than the Marvel Legends Blink figure. The thing about the Marvel Legends Blink figure is that they gave her the Exile's head with like the little shorter haircut. I would have loved the long hair that she had during Age of Apocalypse. It's a minor detail, I know. There's another minor detail that we'll talk about with another Age of Apocalypse figure that we got from Hasbro, but it just it means a lot because when you see the hair like that, when you're a diehard collector, you're like, okay, well, that's Exiles era Blink. It's not Age of Apocalypse. Because when I think of Age of Apocalypse Blink, this is who I think of. She came with the portal. I don't have the portal anymore, with a cloak. Absolutely gorgeous. You know what? I think I did find a cloak in my toy box, but I believe that belongs to the X-Men movie Rogue figure. Pretty sure that it belongs to that one. I do not know if it's the same one. No, it's not the same one, actually, because I think hers is darker. It's black, like more like a cowl over her head, whereas Rogue is a legit cloak jacket. But this figure, look at it. Look at the lines right there. I mean, Blink was a breakout star with the Age of Apocalypse. And that is why they had her crossover to the main 616. She had originally been introduced during the Phalanx Covenant, her 616 counterpart, and quickly died fighting the Phalanx. But that's what was so incredible of seeing her in Age of Apocalypse. It was like the road that could have been for the character. And having her part of the mainstream 616 universe was incredible. I don't know why they brought back the 616 Blink during Necrotia. I mean, it was fine. It was cute and everything. But it definitely took away from the gravity and the popularity of Blink, in my opinion. I'm telling you, 1995, 1996, Blink was beloved so much. Everyone loved Blink. And she is a great figure. And I'm so happy we have her here in Toy Biz format. Must have, must have figure. Okay, coming in at number 16 is the name is Gambit. Remember it! And it's lineup series Gambit, Familia. It's not robot series Gambit, and it's not the original Gambit with like the leg kicking action, which, you know, we all had that Gambit figure with the leg kicking action and like the plastic coat. Did what it had to do, but it was not a breakout Gambit action figure. It's the light up series with this card right here. That is a breakout Gambit action figure. My goodness, Familia, look at this cape. My goodness, Familia, look at this jacket. My God, it just looks so good. Doesn't light up, sadly. He has the button right there. Now, the only thing about this figure is that he's not really great in terms of scale, right? Look at him next to Rogue. Ah, they just look a little bit off. They look like they're from two different toy lines, but the figure is highly detailed. I mean, look at his eyes right there. Look at his floppy hair. Look at the deco on the pink. Oh my gosh, Familia, this figure was part of the light up wave that was so defining for so many of us. My God, Familia, I think this is a near perfect Gambit figure. Again, if it was just a scaling, I mean, look at his boots, right? Those boots, I mean, they're so detailed. Again, this is like 1996 when this figure came out. On the side, he sets the bar. I'm going to be really contentious, and I'm going to say this. I think this is as good as the original Marvel Legends Gambit that we got in the X-Men Danger Room box set. I said it. I still think, listen, it's not to say that the Hasbro Gambit figures that we have gotten in the years since these figures have been released are not good. They're great. I love the retro packaging Gambit figure. I love the Caliban Wave Gambit. Those are excellent figures. However, if you're talking about a figure that just stops you in its tracks, Light Up Series Gambit and the X-Men Danger Room box set Gambit. Those two figures, I mean, they're just, in my opinion, flawless. The new Miss Gambit, remember it. All right, so that was number 16. Now we're going to get into number 15. And, you know, I've toyed around with... Sorry, I'm legitimately saying that in all earnest. I toyed around with where I would place this figure because I think this figure is pretty perfect. And this was a figure that we used with our Marvel Legends collection in those early years before we got the Wave 8 version of this character in Marvel Legends format, because we didn't think we would get this character anytime soon. So, you know, from 2002 through 2000 and let's say 5, we had this figure in our display in this Robot Series store. Now, a lot of you are going to ask, well, where's the variant figure? Where's the variant with the Joe Mad hair and the bangs? That, to me, is a definitive version of this figure. However, let me tell you a very sad story. When I was about 14, my cousin came over. And he had been collecting figures with me as well, but he had kind of outgrown them. He was 15. He was a year older. So I was 14. He was 15. And he was here like, oh, man, you still collect figures. You're such a kid. And I was like, no, look how great they are. And I showed him the Robot Series Storm. And he was here like, well, you know, you have to prove you're no longer a kid anymore because, you know, you're a teenager now and you shouldn't be collecting toys. And I was like, okay, well, I'll prove it to you. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm actually a full-fledged teenager. He's like, well, you wouldn't do anything to that figure because it means so much to you. I was so manipulative. So I got a pair of scissors and I cut up the variant Joe Mad Storm, which is my favorite version of the character. Probably my favorite, one of my favorite Toy Biz figures ever. And I no longer have her. It was so awful. I wish. So, Familia, I had the figure. It was my favorite. I believe, by the way, that I got the Joe Mad Storm first. Because again, this was, remember that story I just said that I walked down the aisle and I found a Toys R Us employee and they gave me the Generation X Chamber, Jubilee, and the entire wave. Well, the Robot Wave was also being released at that same time. And I got the Storm, and he pulled out a Storm, and it was a Storm with the Joe Mad hair. And I was so happy with it. It was my favorite, but I found this version later on, and she's still great. She's amazing. And I would display, this was displayed in my Marvel Legends collection before we got the Wave 8 Storm. So, Familia, with a heavy heart, do I talk about this figure? But it is perfect figure. I had her much higher on the list, but I thought there is a different version of Storm out there. There's another action figure of Storm out there that is deserving of being higher on the list. So that's why we have her in at number 15, because again, she's not really essential to the collection. She was just another, at the time, just another Storm figure that was being put out there. But my goodness, a damn good Storm figure. And absolutely flawless. This is, again, This is from the mid-90s. The figures during this era, they were at an all-time high. Okay. Coming in at number 14 is the Rogue, original Rogue figure. And it looks like her action figure is still working. Well, it was. Oh, there we go. Well, I had to push it, so it doesn't count. It's right there. Okay. This Rogue figure, let me tell you something. We had two versions of it. One with a lot of mascara and one without the mascara and like really big green eyes. And she, I believe this one had a brown belt and this one had a yellow belt. Obviously, I lost the brown belt, sadly. But this Rogue figure would be repainted several times in both 5-inch and 10-inch format. That 10-inch Jean Grey would be a repaint of this Rogue model. The Polaris figure we got during the repaint wave would be based off of this. A Mystique X-Factor 10-inch figure would be released, and it would be based off of this model. This figure was so important. Rogue, Lenore Zann's voice as Rogue made Rogue a household name. Everyone knew Rogue. I remember my parents knew Rogue. They loved Rogue. And Rogue was my gateway drug. I mean, into the X-Men. Familia, that Fleer Ultra 1994. Thank God my friend Carlos Medina and Victor Salcedo, they had extra Rogue card. They had an extra Rogue card and they gave it to me. And that's where we're at today talking about these figures. I remember I was hunting for this figure. I know for a fact she came around out during Thanksgiving because on Black Friday, there was a KB Toy Store coupon for her and for the entire wave. And I ran into KB and I couldn't find her. And I was so upset. I would eventually find her a couple weeks later at Sears. And oh my gosh, Familia, this guy, he must have been in his early 20s or something. I was running through the aisles of Sears trying to look for Storm, and they had other people from that wave. I believe Sunspot was in that wave, and I couldn't find her. I found the Sentinel, and that was great. I put it in the cart with my mom, but I couldn't find Rogue. And then some guy just turns the corner and he's holding the Rogue figure, and I go like that. I mean, like, picture little Dayspring screaming at the top of his lungs with a pitch that I can no longer emulate. And the guy was very nice. I was like, where did you find her? And I just looked at him with these eyes that he had no choice but to give me his Rogue figure. It was so nice. I wish I could somehow track him down and let him know that it did not go to waste. It was this figure. It was this one. This is the one he gave me. Thank you to that guy on the off chance that you're watching this video. Mid-90s Sears in Miami. Little kid wanting a Rogue figure. You gave it to me. Thank you so much. I would go on to have this podcast and be good friends with Lenore Zann, the voice of Rogue, because of your generosity. So right here, this figure, it was just essential. This was the definitive Rogue figure. I know we got the Monster Wave Rogue, where she was a hybrid of regular Rogue and her Age of Apocalypse outfit. We got the Battle Blasters Rogue, which was in that pink Joe Mad jumpsuit that I love quite a bit. But this was the Rogue figure you were displaying in your collection. All right, coming in at number 13 is Hank McCoy Beast with an action feature that I find pretty useless. I don't know. He's supposed to do like a flip or something. I could never figure this out. If you figured it out, Familia, you can. But once again, Hank McCoy is useless. I kid. This is the definitive Beast figure you had in your collection. I mean, look, he even has the little grips at the bottom of his feet. His face, look at him. Look at that face right there. So perfectly sculpted. This is a Beast that I love. Blue, hanging upside down, doing flips, trying to cure the legacy virus. Not the treacherous monster that we have in today's world. He has been redeemed. I'm assuming he's going to be redeemed as the final fight with Beast and X-Force ensues. But look at the detailing on his fur right here. This Beast figure was flawless. It was perfect. And when I got him, I remember thinking, oh yeah, now I have the X-Men. That's how important this figure was. He is absolutely wonderful. Hank McCoy coming in at number 13, lucky 13, Beast. All right, number 12 is a figure I didn't think I, at the time, would ever rank in any sort of top list, even up until like yesterday when I was really contemplating this list. Was I like, why would I include the Monster Wave Wolverine? Because look at him. Look how gorgeous this figure is. I mean, look at his hair. Look at his somber look. Look at his tattered costume. This is a gorgeous Wolverine figure. Objectively, Familia, this is a gorgeous figure, period. Look at his boots. Look at his tattered boots. My goodness, and the veins on his knees and like the shredded top half of his costume. The hair, it's like Fabio just billowing in the wind. My goodness. And I gotta tell you, for a Wolverine figure that does not have like claws coming out, I don't remember if his monster armor has claws, but the actual figure itself does not have claws. I mean, to say this is a wonderful figure is a huge feat to say it, and I'm gonna say it is a gorgeous figure. The deco is really beautiful. My goodness, I could stare at this figure all day. This figure is a work of art, and that is why it is coming in at number 12. All right, number 11 is Jolly Rancher Astral Plane Xavier. Oh, look at this figure. We called him the Jolly Rancher one, and I believe he was a Chase figure. I have to tell you, this is the first figure that I remember that was straight up translucent, right? And look, because he's a psychic, closed fist and open hand. That's a hallmark of how they do psychics. I wonder if that's like mandatory when you're thinking of action figure design and you're like, okay, if this character has psychic powers, you have to be able to have one open hand and a closed fist to show that they are fighting. I love this figure so much. He was part of that Quicksilver wave, the mutant armor wave. I'm forgetting the armor he comes with. I couldn't find it in my toy bid, but he has like the pegs right there for it. This is an incredible Xavier. I didn't really play with him, to be honest with you, but like I would have the Xavier in the hover chair put down, you know, in the middle of a battle, and then I would just grab him from behind and be like, whoop, astro form, and like go and fight. This is a wonderful Xavier figure, such a unique figure, and to my knowledge, the only figure out there that is a straight up astral figure. I don't think we have any other X-Men in astral form. This is the only one that exists. All right. Now we're getting into our top 10. So the top 10 was a really interesting approach here because I really wanted to do figures that were important, but also ones that I felt were very beautifully done and rendered. So I ruminated on this version of the list quite a bit, but I'm pretty happy with this top 10. And our 10th figure is Bishop, Missile Flyers Bishop. Oh my God, look, he stepped right out of a Joe Mad comic book. Look at this figure. Look at the shoulder pads. Look at his face. I mean, the whited out eyes. I mean, his boots. I mean, he looks larger than life. This is what I think of Bishop when I'm holding a Bishop action figure. Just powerful, determined. Like, my goodness, you see Bishop walk into a room and you're like, whoa. This is his look post Age of Apocalypse. So we lost the mullet, which, you know, I like his mullet quite a bit. I think it's a hallmark of the character. That's like saying that you don't like, you know, the orange and brown Wolverine costume. It's like saying you don't like Rogue's white streak. It's just a hallmark of the character's mullet. But at the time when we got him with the shaved head, oh my goodness, he looks so great. And Joe Mad did a killer job rendering him. And this figure looks like it stepped right out of the comic book page. I mean, listen, I love this wave in particular. We got a Shard as well. Shard did not make it on the list. I really wanted to put her on the list, but I just thought, my goodness, this Bishop, I mean, this is top 10. If I was going to tell Bishop Stan, like, which figure you should get, I would be like, this 100% this figure. Coming in at number 9 is Pyro, and I'm going to cheat here and include Avalanche. That's it. You see why. You see why I'm cheating here, because how can you have one without the other? The X-Men anime series, episode 9 of season 1, The Cure, these two will be forever bound in my mind. I know they have a friendship, maybe something more in the comics, but them in the anime series in these costumes, they go hand to hand. I wish this would have been sold as a 2-pack, because if you're going to have Pyro, you have to have Avalanche. Pyro in of himself is a gorgeous figure. Look at the deco on that. Look at his blasters on his fist, his fire pack there, because fun fact, I think people forget this. He does not create fire. He manipulates fire. So that's why he needs to have a fire pack in the back. And Avalanche, my goodness, look at him. He can cement himself on the ground. I was going to say he can spread himself on the ground. He can spread and put himself on the ground. Look at that. Look at that articulation like that. Boom. I really do believe this action figure can cause the earth to move. He seems a little, I'm not going to try to, this joint kind of got stuck, but he moves up like this. I mean, look at that. Amelia, these figures are amazing. And he had little flame effects here, which again, I do not have, but the detail on these figures, and they look so different. That's one thing I want to say about Toy Biz that I really did appreciate is that even if they did reuse some body types, they always felt very unique, in my opinion. And when they could, they made special molds for characters. Like Avalanche, you couldn't just slap Avalanche on just any default body. He needed to have this big chest and, oh my goodness, with the big old A on it and this helmet head. Oh, I love it so much, Familia. That's why these two are coming in at number 9. Number 8 is Generation X Emma Frost. Oh, I remember getting this figure at KB Toy Store and being obsessed with it. Now, she did have a variant where it was more true to the comic book, where she's more white. This is kind of gray, all white, and they cover up her skin, her thighs, her skin thighs. I personally, this to me is the definitive look for her. I mean, look at the straps for her boots here. Look at her corset. Emma was having her minute in Generation X, and that would eventually put her in New X-Men. She would eventually go to New X-Men and become the A-lister that she is today. But I really do miss when Emma was more of a B character on the Generation X. She was like the teacher who probably had nefarious purposes, but at the heart of it, really cared about her students. And that is, by the way, that is the key to writing a big Emma Frost. Everyone always says Emma is such a B word. She's not a B word. Emma cares deeply about her fellow mutants and her students. She just has a morally gray approach on getting stuff done, because Emma is all about getting stuff done and protecting mutants. And during Generation X, we saw that for quite a bit. I was kind of like disappointed after New X-Men, when she officially joined the team as leader, when she was during the Astonishing era, that people were still like, oh, Emma Frost, she is a traitor, you know, she's a villain. I was like, we covered this already in Generation X. Even the first arc for New X-Men sort of tackled was Emma being treacherous with Cassandra Nova. It was resolved. Emma is morally gray. She may not have methods you agree with, but she is trying her best to save humanity. And this figure, I just love the bob. Look at it. Oh, look at it, Familia. Perfect figure. No notes. Look, she's even giving the thumbs up. Yes. By the way, Psychic, she doesn't have the fully closed fist. She's giving a thumbs up. She did come with like some kind of psychic spear, which was largely forgettable. And they would reuse this body mold for Age of Apocalypse Rogue and the She-Force Black Queen. Black Queen is literally this figure, but just painted black, like the Rolling Stones song. All right, coming in at number 7. This is a special shout out to Nerd Alert Jason, because I know this is one of his favorite figures. So if you're going to do a Marvel Legends Deathbird, it needs to have the chrome parts, which are snap off, by the way. But this is Deathbird. This is a definitive Deathbird figure. My goodness, Familia, look at it. She was part of the Ninja Wave that came with Nemesis and Psylocke and that Sabretooth I was talking about, as well as a Wolverine. This figure is near perfect. I mean, look at her wings, how great they are. She can open, she can spread them up like that. Like, look at her face there. Look at that face. Now, the only thing that I've never been able to understand is how we were supposed to, even like 30 years later, I'm like, how do you get her corset and her wrist armor to sort of snap into place? Because it all just kind of comes out. I think I've kind of got it. It's still going to pop out. The second you move her, it's going to pop out. But my goodness, I love the chrome parts with this figure. This was essential. My goodness, absolutely beautiful. Actually, oh, you know, you see? I was like, oh, I cracked it after 30 years. Unfortunately, the parts do snap off if you move it around too much. But right here, look at her Deathbird coming in at number 7, a damn near perfect figure. Look at her hair. She-Ra. We never even got a Lalandra. We never even got a Lalandra figure. It wasn't until Marvel Legends Walgreens Mystique that we got an alternate head with Mystique. And by the way, that Mystique figure was obviously inspired by the Morph figure, which was number 25 on this list because they brought alternate heads. Again, this line just inspired so many of the action figures we have today, Familia. So if we are going to get a Marvel Legends Deathbird, she has to somewhat be reminiscent of this. I can't imagine that they wouldn't do it. I mean, look at her feathers. She looks so great. I remember walking through that Target aisle on a Saturday morning with my mom and my sister and finding the Ninja Wave. All of them there. Psylocke, her, Nemesis. Oh, I was so happy. Coming in at number 7 is this figure. All right, coming in at number 6 is Age of Apocalypse Iceman. It's Crystal Armor Iceman, Crystalline Armor Iceman. I don't know the official term that they use for him, but he's Age of Apocalypse Iceman. And I toyed with putting Iceman 2 on this. But the fact of the matter is, this looked so beautiful. I mean, look at him, Familia. This is a perfect, perfect Iceman figure. And you can even... he has a back full of ice right there. Look at that. This works for your Age of Apocalypse collection. This also works for how he was rendered at the comics at the time, because Emma Frost had hijacked his mind and used his powers in ways he didn't know. So again, Iceman 2, not a bad figure. I was toying with putting him on the list, but I think this one is a far superior figure. It improved on what was already kind of coming out before. There's also the Water Wars Iceman, which was really fun. But I got to tell you, everything is better than that original Iceman figure that you would put water in his ice board and put him in the refrigerator, and then you take him out and then boom, he has ice on his feet. It did what it had to do, but it's like this big and it just was a little uninspiring. I know the technology at the time was sort of limiting, but my God, look at the upgrade in just a couple of years that we would get. This figure is amazing. Now, remember when I was talking about Age of Apocalypse Blink, how the Marvel Legends has her Exile's head? This one also has the correct hair at the time, which is a little bit more of that Joe Mad Ryder Strong hair, which I know you guys know I'm obsessed with. But the Age of Apocalypse Iceman figure we got would be from the Uncanny X-Men Rick Remender run, where it was a little bit more spiky and, you know, a little bit more modernized. Because, you know, the Rick Remender, when Rick Remender revisited Age of Apocalypse, it was like a decade later, over a decade later. So I was kind of disappointed we didn't get more of that, this version of Iceman, the one that actually Joe Mad illustrated. But my goodness, this figure is flawless. And it's so evident the amount of influence Joe Mad had over the toy wave when you're looking at this. I mean, truly. And this is great. It's a beautiful figure. All right, Familia, we're now here at our top 5. Thank you for sticking with me and hearing me ramble here. These top 5 figures are about legacy, as far as I'm concerned, and the impact they had on toys and ourselves as collectors. So coming in at number 5, Familia, is Cyclops. Number three, the original Cyclops we got was his classic one, and then we got an X-Factor one that was repainted. So this one is based off of his Jim Lee animated. I don't have the figure with me. He's in another box somewhere that I have to go find, but he had light up eyes. He came with a base. This was your Cyclops figure. He's a little small, and when we would get the Monster Wave Cyclops, I would swap this one out for that one. But this was an important figure. You had him. That's it. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. You had him. You saw him on the anime series. You saw him in the comic books. So this was a Cyclops figure you had. He was legendary. Coming in at number 4 is an interesting one, because I did a poll on Power of X-Men to see which variant of this figure you liked, and it was across the board. It was like a three-way tie. It is Storm right here. This original Storm figure with the light-up chest. We would get her in her black costume, her silver costume, which is the one I have right here, and then they would re-release it painted all white in homage to her white costume as it appears in the X-Men animated series. Now, the official party line is the costume is black with a lot of white sheen and reflection on it. So that's why we have 3 different variants. Again, it was a three-way tie. Minusculely, the white costume and the black costume came in at number 1 followed by number two being just the straight up black costume. I prefer the black costume for this one. That's the one I wanted. Again, I came to the wave late. I tried looking for that black costume Storm, but by that time she had been put out of circulation and they were getting ready to recirculate this. Her cape is like Coke can plastic. So I love this figure. I mean, you can still see that that's the model they used in the back. Look at the Mark Silvestri art right there. Oh, so nice. Oh, I love this figure so much. Familia, this was a hallmark. This is why so many of us collect action figures, because of the Storm figure. That first release of this figure, absolutely legendary, redefined the way we collected the light up chest. Storm number four. All right, number three, also light up figure, is light up Psylocke. I have spoken to death about this figure with her windswept hair. I hated the windswept hair, but you know what? 3 decades later, it's finally grown on me. It's fine. Look at it here. Again, originally she was supposed to not have the windswept hair. She was supposed to have a similar head to the one that we saw in the Ninja Wave. And that's why we got it, because there was such an outcry for the windswept hair. However, whatever, okay? The deco on this windswept hair looks incredible. Look at her face. Look at the costume. She comes with a psychic knife, too, that lights up. Again, oh, I'm so sad they don't light up anymore. I got hopeful when I found the blade, and I put it in, and I tried to light it up, and they wouldn't work. Now, I will say, I think this may be Elektra's blade, because they would repaint this figure to be Elektra and they would still include the psychic blade. So I think this may be Elektra's. I think hers was a little bit more purplish, more of a like purple, and this one is a very vibrant red. I don't know if the camera's picking it up, but regardless, my goodness, this figure has stood the test of time. She is an important figure, that light up wave. I cannot stress the importance of that light up wave for Toy Biz. It really was peak. We peaked at the Toy Biz light up wave. That is fact. Not to say we didn't get some good figures afterwards. Not saying that we didn't get good figures afterwards, but this was already 1996. The line would be over in about 1998. That Onslaught wave that came out a little later that year just did not do any favors for the wave. And then we started all kind of weaning off, and then we would return obviously for Marvel Legends. But this right here is peak Toy Biz era figures. I mean, if this was the beginning with Storm, I just don't want to take her out of her packaging, but if this was the beginning with Storm, this was its peak with Psylocke. Absolutely beautiful figures. All right, Familia, number two is Wolverine 2. I mean, I'm sorry, not the best figure in terms of style, but this was a figure everyone had. This was a figure everyone loved. He was a hallmark of your collection. I mean, his calls pop in and out. Look at him right there. This is such an important figure. This Wolverine figure, Tiger Stripe Wolverine Jim Lee figure, so incredibly important. He came out in the wave with Forge, with that Iceman figure I was talking about, with the Mr. Sinister and the Spark Chest Sabretooth, and another Wolverine that was called Wolverine 3, which was just his Strike Force Wolverine costume. But this was the one you wanted. This was the definitive version. Cal Dodd's voice made Wolverine a household name. He had already been brewing for some time. Wolverine had already been popular, but this was the exclamation point on that Wolverine sentence. This would propel the character to be everywhere in the 90s. Wolverine Logan, this figure, absolutely a must have. All right, Familia, we are here at number one. And I'm telling you, this number one, it goes to our God Queen in her Phoenix form, in the Phoenix wave light up hair. They got the windswept hair right here. Originally, if you look at the prototype, she had solid red hair, but then when you got the figure, you're like, oh wow, she lights up. Oh my goodness. I remember I called a KB toy store for her, and they were like, okay, yeah, we do have it. I was like, put her on hold. And I drove there so fast with my parents. We were at my parents' office, and I made them go to a KB toy store across town. It was at this place called Town and Country. I went to the KB toy store in there, walked right in, and they had her behind the counter for me. Now, this was one of many that I would get, because the one I had did not have actually white nails in there did not have white joints. It had more metal joints. So this is another one I would eventually get later down the line. And fun fact, when this figure came out, they switched from doing the custom packaging for every character. So you had like a Phoenix in the background. They would switch it to more of a generic packaging, which was just like this blue and orange art with Wolverine at the top with his claws popping like that. That's the version I got. I now have the one with the Phoenix in the back, but growing up, I was like, oh, I really wanted that. Oh, I'm so sad I never had it. But this figure was so great. We would eventually get a Dark Phoenix as part of a Dark Phoenix pack, as well as in the Marvel Universe, they would release her. And they would also do a two-pack with her and Cyclops. But the figure had a little bit, slight differences to it that we will discuss in another time. But the fact that then we could get a Dark Phoenix from this mold, I mean, we weren't expecting the light-up feature, and she came with like a little base that she could like cannonball in. Very weird. But this figure, oh my god, Familia, so much good came from this figure. We love it so much. Animated series, I had just done the Phoenix Saga, couldn't believe we were getting it. Look at Jean right here, she looks so great, so powerful. The sash is like molded in there, so you don't have to worry about the sash flying around. This figure right here. All right, Familia, that is my top 25 Toy Biz 5-inch figures. What are your favorite Toy Biz figures? Drop them in the comments below. Do you agree with this list? How would you have ranked your own figures? The beauty about these figures is that we all have a personal connection to them, that we all rank them differently. Who would be your number one? Maybe I'll do a worst of. I think that would probably be a little easier. I'm looking at your Robot Series Jubilee worst of figures, but let us know your feels in the comments below.